Hello again, fair traveler! Through cannibalizing the cannon, I like how you wave your hands as if they could see that, but sure.
Look, okay, look. you were the one who went for the voice choice this time.
Yeah.
I always go for the voice choice.
But yes, it's cannibalizing the cannon. I am Glaive slash Danny slash recovered from the Odin sleep.
And I am Rin slash Vela slash V slash insert witty line about three dogs here.
Three dogs panting.
I'll be real.
Trench coat.
Yeah. So for those who are unaware, I'm on a particular brand of antidepressants, which means that I struggle to self-regulate heat, and it is extremely warm in our country right now. And yeah, it's a grand old time. It's fine.
I'm fine. Sure there's an anime out there where you've got this giant, I'm getting somewhere with this, there's this giant mech, kind of like Neon Evangelion or whatever the fuck. I've seen that. It's not that, but there's something out there that's like, oh no, we're overheating. And for some whatever reason, they have to like just quench themselves in water. That's what V is right now.
110%. I did wonder where you were going with that, but I appreciate where we got to.
Yeah. Yeah. There's just replace.
We got that. It's fine.
Anime protagonists with V's brain.
100%. I cannot stress enough that hydration is very important, but I do feel like I'm drowning in my own body right now. Mm-hmm. I'm that hydrated.
Hydration.
But you know, we must.
But it's fine. So today's going to be a loosey-goosey episode. It's fine. It's okay. The topic, you may ask, is elven ancestry. You know, elven subraces, basically. Those wonderful, many faceted things.
And boy howdy, are there many of them.
There are so many.
So many.
Some more distinct than others.
Some of them look suspiciously like other ones.
It's like, are you sure? It's fine. But also, I'm going to propose this whole nonsense of I got a picture of all of the types of Pokemon that could possibly exist, and I'm going to be like, let's make some elf subraces or apply them to something that, yeah.
So what you're basically saying is we're making evolutions for elves.
Exactly. That's exactly what we're doing right now. If this actually works, and people are interested in it, we can do this with other ancestries.
I'm going to say that we are going to do it with other ancestries right now, yeah, because
you're
there's
taking
one particular
the choice out of the audience. Yeah. You're like, no, we're doing this. We're doing this.
Okay. Only because there's one specific one that I really want to do.
What's the one specific one you really want to do?
Guess, motherfucker. Sorry. I said that a little bit more menacingly than intended, and Danny is looking confused, perplexed, and threatened all at the same time.
I'm like, what the fuck? Like, I don't know. Drows are your babies. I know, right? So who else? Dwarves?
Nope.
No. Fuck the episode. I'm guessing this. There's only so many answers. Is it one of the main ones from the Player's Handbook? It'd be hilarious if you were like humans. what the fuck?
Jeez, come on. Come on. I have some standards, Jesus. Technically, I don't think it is.
Okay. I don't like the way you say technically.
Yeah, because my brain is fried.
Can I ask, is it a monster type?
Technically, yes.
Is it in Volos?
Yes.
Okay. Is it orc?
Yeah.
There we go. Hilariously, in a lot of my campaigns, orcs is a variety of elf. So,
true.
Yeah, but you know, mildly may vary. Hell yeah, 100% we can do that.
Hell yeah.
So, before we start talking about the elf subraces that that don't have an already existing Pokemon type that we can point to, we'll talk about the ones that do. Starting off, of course, with the basic bitch of elves. The High Elf. We're not going to get into too much detail. I'm sure a lot of these will have their own episodes at some point, like we did with the Drow. Like we will do again with the Drow. But, because that's one of these things.
I don't know what you're talking about. I'm not obsessed.
So, High Elves, to me, they're the normal type, because I can't fit them anywhere else.
Absolutely. Well, I mean, when you think of elves, you think of the generic high fantasy, mm-hmm. know everything, live forever.
You think of Legolas and Arwen and Elrond.
Exactly.
Exactly.
And that's high elf to a T, you know? Yeah. A little bit of inherent magic, just, you know, for zhuzh. Just for flavor.
See, that's I find it interesting because, again, you've heard us say it hundreds of times. This won't be the last. D&D has its roots in Tolkien. So a lot of the elves, the way that Tolkien made the elves is what makes them what they are in D&D.
Mm-hmm.
So we can point to Elrond as like the archetypical. That's what they had in mind when they were thinking of high elves. And we can point to Legolas specifically when he's going around. Like, that's what they had in mind when they were talking about wood elves. The distinctiveness grows over time.
Mm-hmm. I will say...
Yeah.
Because a lot of people's perceptions of Legolas and the woodland realm itself have been altered by the movies.
Yeah.
And I don't think they're a fair representation. Sorry, we're off on a tangent already.
No, it's fine. This is what we're
here for. About the Hobbit movies.
Go ahead.
Unsurprisingly. Specifically how they portray the elves in general and also Legolas. So if you haven't seen the three Hobbit movies.
Made from one book.
I would have been okay with two. I think two was fair because I think you could have done the story well in two.
Yeah.
I think it would have been rushed in one because it is a dense book.
Yeah.
You know, as it's Tolkien, you know. just calming down and chilling? No. Lordum? Yes, let's go.
Walk.
But it does, as a result, it takes a few liberties in terms of adding to the storyline, mm-hmm. and adding certain bits of story that aren't necessarily overtly there, but are possibly there in subtext a little bit in terms of what the fuck the elves are up to. Because obviously the book is very much told from Bilbo's perspective.
Yeah.
For most of the narrative. Not all of the narrative, but most of the narrative. And so we don't know what the elves are up to a lot of the time, but in the movie we get to see that perspective, and we get to see Legolas kind of like as this younger version of who he is in of the Lord of the Rings. He's kind of a little bit more brash, a little bit more like shitty. He's kind of shitty, right?
You know what I find interesting about this? Now because you're saying that, just something that has popped into my mind. Very, very, very tiny spoilers for Strange New Worlds, Star Trek series. A good example, and I'm not going to get into detail on this, but a good example of how to do what you're talking about well is Spock. Yeah, by Ethan Peck. Ethan Peck plays a very good young Spock.
Yes. I will... No, okay, here's my thing.
I have one more thing, because we're going to talk about Vulcans in a second, because let's not kid ourselves.
Space elves.
Vulcans are space elves.
We're going to bring it back, I promise. Yeah. But yes, I will say, I think the movie, I think Orlando Bloom did an excellent job of portraying a younger version of the character that he was in Lord of the Rings, the movies. I don't necessarily think he did a particularly good job of the book, but in fairness, Legolas isn't in the book. Yeah, I think he's not in The Hobbit at all in the book. So I think that they do a very good job of portraying this younger character. And I will say, and I've said this before, and I will say it again, if you watch The Hobbits and then you watch The Lord of the Rings, it is a wonderful character progression for Legolas, especially in terms of the romantic journey that he's on. But that's a whole other issue. I just...
Yep.
My ship of heart will go and sit in the corner now, okay? Anyway. Fuck, what was I saying?
We were talking about the representation of the wood realms in Tolkien.
Yes. I think that the movie version of the woodland realm is portrayed too much like high elves.
Yeah, 100%.
I don't think there's I genuinely, even though he's, you know, doing the whole like hunting and going through the thing, Thranduil is 100% high elf.
Yeah,
you cannot fucking.
It's hilarious because he's like. He walks along and he looks like a wood elf down to the fucking giant stag.
Yeah, but he does all of the high elf moves. Like he's constantly like doing little illusions. He's fucking just he's got the attitude.
He's got that high and mighty like I am better than everyone else in this
absolutely.
Room. Absolutely. And I will make sure that you all know that.
And also like I'm gonna be real and this is again no tea, no shade on Lee Pace because Lee was fantastic. Like, so good. Like, I love him in everything, I'll be real. But he was excellent as Thranduil. And I genuinely love the dynamic that he brought to the relationship between him and Legolas. Like, fantastic work. However, Thranduil in the movies does fuck all that's nature based.
Yep.
Genuinely. Like, he looks the part for sure, but he doesn't do anything like
so
bruh.
I find it interesting because to me, and I can't remember, I have to read the Middle Earth books again at some point.
Oh no, what a shame.
I know, right? Hey, if you're interested in that, we might have a specific exclusive episode where we go for each of the chapters of the Middle Earth books, but that's the later thing. Also, join our Discord.
These plugs, they're so seamless.
Yeah. But like, here's what I want to get at. So, the difference between high elves and wood elves, because those are the defaults. It or not, that's what, when people play elves in D&D, they choose one or the other.
Well, yeah, I mean, in fairness, and again, no tea, no shade, that's what is offered in the player's handbook.
Exactly.
Like, yeah, it also offers the drow, but it's like, you don't want to do that because they're rare. They're
and
special.
Also, the sun is a deadly laser.
And also, the sun is a deadly laser, so don't play him. And I'm like, fuck you and your deadly laser. All right? I got enough of that in my real life. I don't need that in my fantasy setting. Jeez Louise.
You're feeling very drow today. Like, with the sun.
Are you feeling it now, Mr. Krabs?
So, yes. So... if we take high elves and wood elves as the Pepsi and the Coke.
Wait, does that mean drow is Dr. Pepper?
Hilariously, yes. So Thranduil is a good example of a high elf.
Mm-hmm.
Elrond is a good example of a high elf. Different personalities, but representing more or less the same things. They're
absolutely
kind of haughty, they're kind of posh, they're kind of proper.
They have very much, they both have this kind of like, I live forever, therefore I know better than you.
Yeah.
Attitude.
I am the peak of civilization. And I will kick your ass.
This is what this is what peak elf performance looks like.
Then you got the wood elves. In my opinion, mm-hmm. wood elves should be somewhat of the opposite.
Yeah.
They should not be high and mighty. They should, I will fucking rip your neck if you look at me wrong. Because I am the nature and the trees and the wilds.
I am the Lorax, I speak for the trees.
Yeah. They're the kind of people that go out of their way and fight owlbears for fun.
Sure, who would do that? Looks at every adventuring party ever.
That's what I feel like a traditional wood elven society would look like. They're meant to be more animalistic, more wild, more. I don't care about manners. All I care about is sticking them in with the pointy end.
It's not even about, like, it's not even, like, quote-unquote animalistic. It's just that that step removed from what most people would consider proper civilization. Yeah. You know, they've been living in tune with nature. They don't really give a shit about society, and honestly, that's a mood right now.
Which is hilarious, because that's not... Legolas isn't like that.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's the thing, like in the books, the Woodland Realms, and Mirkwood in particular, is very primal. And part of that is because Mirkwood has been tainted, but that's a whole thing we don't have time to unpack right now. But still, even when it was the Greenwood... It was very kind of, they were reclusive. They didn't really get involved in the rest of the world. And that's why people didn't know and that it had been infected until it was too late. Like, that's why it became Mirkwood, is because the Greenwood Elves were like, we're not going to tell anyone about this, right? We're just going to fucking deal with it ourselves. And then, spoiler alert, they didn't deal with it. And then everyone was like,
the two Wood Elves standing outside the front gates just guarding. And then, like, one says, they're like, hey, Dave, does that tree look less green to you? And it all went downhill from there.
Would you say that tree looks murky?
I think it looks a bit iridescent. I don't know.
I am 110% here for two Wood Elf guards just standing at the gates trying to discuss what word best describes the state of the
tree. Very Monty Python. I was like,
100%.
Yeah, that's more of a pine green, that is. Wouldn't it be a forest green? Everything's a forest green. We're in a forest.
People's front at Judea. Yeah, and in fairness, if you haven't read the books, please do. Or, you know, check out an audiobook. You know, it's good. It's all grand. Because I do think the description of the world is a lot more varied than I think it's shown in the movies.
Yeah.
Specifically with the elves.
Because the books don't have a budget.
True that. The only budget is your imagination.
So if you're not imaginative, sorry.
Yeah, sorry. We just kind of dicked you over there. My bad.
So high elves, prim and proper. Wood elves, you what, mate? I will stab you. Yeah, hunter gatherer is what comes to mind when I think wood elves. Number one, Eladrin. Eladrin yes. are, basically, technically speaking, they're like, they're the OG elves, the closest we get. They're the ones that stayed in the Feywild and were still a bit weird.
It, okay, it's not even that they're a bit weird, it's that they're much more in tune and connected to the nature of the Fey, right? And and this is the thing. A lot of people think that the Fae is just like, oh, yes, we get to be hedonistic and dicks. And whilst there is an element of that, it's more that it's like being drunk.
Yep.
You don't have the same boundaries. You don't have the same...
Inhibitions.
That's the word I was looking for. Inhibitions, thank you. Like, it's literally just like you have no filter. You know, you don't necessarily hold yourself to the same moral...
So,
code, because you know, morals are something that we constructed, and do we really need them, and all that kind of stuff, basically. So it's you know, they're just like, they're just out here living, you know.
So a good example of why the Feywild is much more dangerous than people give it credit for, is people think, oh, the Feywild, it's like Narnia. There's talking animals, and there's fairies, and all sorts of magical creatures, and we might run into Santa Claus. That's not what the Feywild is. Feywild is a lot more like Dionysus. People think Dionysus is the wine god. Dionysus is not the wine god. He is not the party god. Technically, he is, but he's more. he's much more, and he's fucking terrifying. He is simultaneously the oldest and youngest god in the pantheon, in the Greek pantheon. And he's probably one of the most powerful ones as well. That's exactly why the Feywild gets the, like, the credit of people will assume it's whimsy and fairies and all sorts of things. Like, yeah, that's the top layer.
Surface level, yeah.
The surface level. Underneath, it will tear you to shreds if you're not looking the right direction.
Absolutely. And I think there's this misconception of... The other thing as well is that a lot of the kind of the media around the Feywild is like, oh, you can't trust them at their word, blah, 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 blah. And that's not necessarily true of the Feywild. It's that people will hold you to your word. It's very literal at times.
And also words can be up to interpretation.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, it's I'm struggling to find the words to express exactly what I mean here. Hot weather!
Please hold.
brain shutting down. People think that it's just like you just have to be clever and outwit the Fae. No, you still have to be on your fucking shit, because whilst you might be able to talk your way out of the courts of Titania, you still have to contend with the fucking beasts that live in the fucking, like, things.
Also, I see Oberon being like, oh, you're clever, are you? You outsmarted me. Shit.
Yeah, straight up. Everyone's just like, get fucking wrecked. But it's the whole, they don't hold to the same morals that the material plane does. To them, good and evil isn't a thing. It's just, you know, like, there's a reason that they are considered by mortals to be mercurial, and that's because they don't use the same roadmap we do.
We're the weird ones.
Yeah, we're fucking weird. We invented more rules and like guidelines, and the Fae are looking at us going, what the fuck are you doing? Like,
what do you mean I can't have that cake?
Why are you overcomplicating life? Like, geez, yeah. Louise. Like,
I'm going to have that cake. I'm pay for it.
You can't stop me. Look, the cake is in my hand. The cake is in my mouth. What are you going to do?
Of these reasons, so go ahead.
Just for the folks at home, I did a little bit of acting there. I have food in one of my hands and I didn't use it as the prop. Are you fucking kidding me right now?
So for all those reasons, that's why the Eladrin are terrifying as a subrace, because they're unpredictable. Mm-hmm. We don't know what they're gonna do. A good example. They're not an Eladrin, but a good example of that type of like characterization is Ashley Johnson's character in the latest campaign of Critical Role. I forget their name, the character's name. The
Fern.
Yeah, I was like, it's the fawn. What's the fawn's name? Oh, Fern. Fern is a chaotic being.
Fern is chaos. And again, no spoilers for people who need to watch or catch up. But Ashley Johnson brings the noise.
Exactly.
Quite frankly.
So we got fairy type, Eladrin.
Mm-hmm.
We got normal type, high elf. We got grass type, wood elf.
Uh-huh.
What else we have? Avariel, which are winged elves. I'm not going to say much about them. Basically, they're elves with wings.
Yeah, that's all you need to know, really.
So they're flying type.
You want lore? Go and find it. Like, or make it up. Lore.
Or make it up. Cannibalize that cannon.
Hell yeah.
Water type. Sea elves.
Absolute lads.
Absolute lads. Whatever elves.
Not particularly complicated on that one, to be honest. No. Like, does what it says on the tin. I'm here for it.
Dark type. Now, dear audience, we've had this discussion before we started recording. You may think, oh yeah, dark type, drow.
Guess what? No!
No.
I'm out here. And in fairness, I will say, I did agree straight off the bat. Like, instinctively, I did agree until I remembered that there's a better dark type.
There is a better dark type. And that would be the Shadarkai.
Hell yeah.
Shadowkai are 100% dark type elves.
For those of you who don't know, the Shadowkai are to the Shadowfell what the Eladrin are to the Feywild.
Yeah.
They are mysterious and basically devoid of emotions, because that's what the Shadowfell is.
Yep.
It's a place where things go to die.
The opposite of the Eladrin, basically. Instead of being unpredictable and high, they're very predictable in the most dangerous way.
Yes. They are, in many settings that exist, they are sworn to the service of the Raven Queen.
Mm-hmm.
And they exist in this strange state between life and death. In the same way that the Feywild and the Shadowfell are mirrors of each other, so are the Eladrin and the Shadowkai.
They also worship the Raven Queen, don't they?
Mm-hmm, absolutely. Well, you'd have to. I mean, if you worked for her, you fucking would, right? Also, they have an absolutely banging trait, which is that as a bonus action, they can teleport 30 feet away and they turn into a ghost.
Ooh.
And they turn into a ghost and they are resistant to damage.
That's very dangerous. In terms of, we might have to make them be ghost type.
Oh shit, you got a point.
Yeah.
Oh no. What have I done?
Although I think there's a better option for ghost type.
Mm-hmm.
I can't think of it off the top of my head.
We'll get there.
So, we got our sea elves, we got our dark elves. Deep elves. You ever heard of deep elves?
I can't say that I have.
Neither have I.
Do you ever feel like we should maybe have done planning ahead of time?
We did a lot of planning! Elves. Deep. Let's see here. Deep elves are one of the original elves. Unlike other elves, they have an affinity with rocky areas such as caves. As a result, these elves move underground. Like all elves, deep elves have a special bond with one another. That's a weird thing to say.
That's a really weird thing to say.
Campaign note. It is recommended that drow are not used along with deep elves. The deep elf, in most cases, replaces that niche in the world. If you do use drow, make sure that the drow have a special tie to the deep elves. Drow titles in such a campaign should be Speaker of the Shades, Speaker of the Dam, etc. Thank you, dndwiki.com.
Okay.
So I see deep elves. There's not a lot to them, to be honest. It's like, oh,
so would
really,
you say that? Would you say
caves?
That,
they're rock type.
Yeah. So, well, no, I'd say deep elves are rock type and drow are ground type. There's not that much difference between them, apparently.
Yeah. Sure, I'll allow it. That makes sense. Drow are ground type. Deep elves are rock type. So wait, so I imagine deep elves are probably somewhat similar to deep gnomes.
Probably.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Similar niches.
Similar vibe.
Similar vibes. In my head, deep elves are to drow what wood elves are to high elves. So the drow are going to be a bit more civilization-y, and deep elves are going to be more dwarfy. But much more like rough and tumble, bulky as well, large. I want swole elves. I want large swole elves.
I want large swole elves that still have very very neat, very plaited hair. Like in the style of dwarves, because you know, when you are working that far underground and stuff, you have to have your hair out of your face. That's why dwarves have plaits.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm not wrong.
Yeah. And you cowards, you can't make this. So we have
immediately on the attack there.
So deep elves, yeah. So if you're gonna take this cannibalizing canon that we're making up right now for what deep elves are, So if you have them be like these really swole, don't be a coward. Have the women be as swole as the men.
Have the women be more swole. Fuck you. Have all the right?
Women be more swole than the men.
Let's fucking go. I want beefy ladies who just don't give a fuck, who could like fucking bench press you without breaking a sweat.
I enjoy the idea of dwarves being scared shitless of deep elves. Like they might be rare enough where it's like, I've heard stories down in the caves. I was minding my own business, tending my gems.
Mining my own business,
tending the gems, and then suddenly around the corner.
Hey, tending to gems, you want to watch yourself.
Around the corner, there comes an elf, but not like one I've ever seen before. That knife-haired bastard, he was more than twice my height. More, I'm saying. Not just twice, more than twice.
Look, I'm not saying that all dwarves immediately just like, you know, okay, so do you remember that Kate Beaton comic that was like, this is my nemesis, and then he goes to sleep with a picture of his nemesis?
No, but go on.
Oh my god, okay. I'll have to show you that comic afterwards. But it's very much like, this is my nemesis, I'm gonna fight him, but like then is like obsessed and is secretly in love with.
I'm not saying
that's the dynamic I want. But that's the dynamic I want.
Even elves are nomadic and they just go around the Underdark doing whatever the fuck they want because there's the dead. Like, they're the kind of like that mentality where elves are like, we will spend centuries building this building. Except they're like, no. We're going to spend centuries mining. Mm-hmm. And we're going to continue to mine perpetually. And it's not about what we get out of the mine, it's about mining.
It's about having a moment to just mine, you know?
And so then you've got the dwarves who are spending lifetimes trying to find these deep elves. Like, we need to outdo them. We cannot be outdone by a bunch of elves. We're fighting them, we're challenging them, and we're winning. That's the plan. Fuck these guys. And meanwhile, the deep elves are like, oh, the dwarves are here! Oh, it's gonna be fun!
I love the idea that, like, in the beginning, there was a bunch of elves who turned up from the Feywild and were like, alright, we're gonna make this material plane nonsense work. Alright, okay. And then they started to split off into factions, and you got your widows going, I'm just gonna go hang out in this forest for a bit. Cool, alright, bang it, done. And then you got the deep elves who are like, we're gonna do mining. Cool. And then, like, some elves went with them and were like, yeah, cool, we're totally into the mining. And then got like a little bit under the ground and were like, actually, we're really tired of the mining. We're just going to live here now. And that's the drow.
The drow just started building like they would on the surface. And then turned around like, where did the deep elves go?
Basically, what I'm saying is, if this was Minecraft, yeah, I would be the drow. I'd be like, yeah, I'm going to make an underground base. Absolutely. That's 100% my energy. Are you going to come mine with us, V? Yeah, absolutely. Wait, I just got to build this. Okay, bye.
All right.
I'm just saying.
So
yeah, deep elves. Put them in your campaign today.
Yeah. There's a bunch of elf subclasses that I'm not going to get into because there's not a lot to them.
Yeah, I mean, there's like, for example,
I keep saying subclasses when I mean subraces, but go ahead.
Same, it's from fucking potato, you know? Yeah. For example, sun elves and moon elves are basically reflavored high elf and wood elf.
I'm wrong. Pretty much. I would argue, moon elves, in my opinion, should be psychic type, and you should embrace that.
Absolutely. Have
the moon elves be creepy as fuck, but in a good way. Like, don't have them be evil, because boo that. Have them be like, all the other elves like to be like, have a bit of distance between them when they don't know. Like, yeah, we don't know much about him. He tends to just, like, cite prophecy. and can apparently he can see the future. He said he knows how I die, and I didn't really want to get into it, so I just left. I just gave him some tea, and he started looking at the leaves.
I love that. I gave him a cup of tea because I'm, you know, I'm a hospitable and friendly person, and he just started obsessing.
Yeah. And the moon, like, it's that line from Aliens. It's like, they mostly come out at night. Mostly. That's what a moon elf is. It's like, oh, you've given me a cup of tea. Oh, would you look at that? That means you're going to die in 12 days.
Fucking rude, what?
You should cherish what time you have left.
I'll cherish your fucking face with my fist in a minute, mate.
I don't know why you're being so violent. I'm only trying to give you the time you have left to enjoy your life, etc., etc.
I also love the concept of, like, a moon elf, like, somebody pushing back on a moon elf and being really aggressive, and the moon elf being, wow, I didn't foresee this coming. Like, fucking...
13 days later, that same elf comes back, like, what the fuck? I didn't die. Oh, sorry, I misread it. You've dyed your hair. There it is.
Oh, thank you for noticing.
I knew this was going to happen. The tea leaves said so. It said you were going to dye
your hair.
Yeah, I want moon elves to be kind of like the Jedi, but more shit.
Fair and valid.
Sun elves. Sun elves. I want sun elves. Let's not have them be into, like, the high elves. Let's them be arsonists.
Yeah, absolutely. I feel like if you've got moon elves being the mystic highest shit.
They mostly come out at night. Mostly.
Yeah. Absolutely. That kind of energy. I want sun elves to be, like, obnoxiously the opposite.
I want sun elves to be metalheads. I want them to be like, oh yeah, let's do it! Let's burn it down!
Yeah, okay, I'm down for that vibe.
Yeah. Like, they're intelligent enough to be like, okay, let's not burn down all the buildings, but let's burn down the buildings that are specifically built to be burnt down.
Mm-hmm. Like, specifically... No, do you know who sun elves are?
Who are the sun
people who go to the Burning Man Festival.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the energy we're going for.
Exactly. But, like, I feel like there's some overlap. Not a lot. There's a Venn diagram there of Burning Man attendees and metalheads. Because metalheads are some of the nicest people on the planet.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And that's what I want sun elves to be. Where it looks like... You don't want to fuck with them. They look terrifying, and they're imposing and kind of aggressive, and kind of some people would, like, assume that they're full of themselves, when in reality they're, like, incredibly passionate, and they're like, yes, let's do it. Let's go over there and fuck up some shit. Here's some water.
Don't forget to hydrate.
You need to hydrate when burning buildings. Because if you do that, the smoke can kill you. Also, obviously, sun elves in this are fire type.
100%.
Yeah. They're all about life and living to the fullest extent. Making the loudest noise. Creating the loudest explosions. Using magic to be as... extroverted as possible. That's the dichotomy between the sun elves and the moon elves. The moon elves are introverts that just want to stay at home and read their cards. Sun elves are extroverts that have mosh pits and will magic missile randomly into the air. I'm okay. So, let me have a look here. Let's talk about snow elves. Snow elves is what... So, there are snow elves that exist in D&D lore, but I want to talk about specifically my snow that I've already made homebrew-wise.
Tell me about your snow elves.
I will. So, snow elves in my setting are a bit of a cross between wood elves, I would say, and what you would consider the Christmas elves, like the little toy making crafty little guys that are like, yes, we're here to spread happiness and joy.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Combine that with a wood elf, specifically the wild and very natural kind of personality, and you get the snow elves that I have, which are essentially blue-skinned, bearded artificers. You may have to edit out my coughs.
No, we're keeping it.
Cool.
Everyone needs to know what we suffer.
Yeah.
Every time we do this podcast.
So snow elves, then, they're all about building things that help them survive in the Arctic tundra. Because it's not an easy place to live.
Hmm.
Everything is cold and frozen. So they build things in order to get food. They build things in order to build homes. They build things to solve all problems that any society would have to face. So when going to a snow elf society, it's similar to wood elves if wood elves had technology.
Mm-hmm.
They use a lot of magic. They use a lot of things. So it's a lot more like there's heating. There's pipes. There's steam engines. There are mechanical things walking around. There are little constructs that just hop around helping, doing little tasks that the snow elves are like, yes, why would we do this when we can build something that will do it for us? Like gathering firewood or something like that. There are lumberjack constructs walking around. That sort of thing. There's a lot of potential, I think, for GMs to just take that and be like, oh, I could make all sorts of things. You have to, I have them rare as well enough so that encountering a snow elf village should be difficult, should be something that isn't easy because they hide themselves as well because a lot of their technology they keep to themselves. Mm-hmm. They don't want to spread it out to the rest of the world because suddenly that technology could be exploited to be used in a much more dangerous and destructive way. They don't want to do that. Of course, then you can have the concept of your big bad snow elf who has that technology in the bad way. That's when you have the terrifying snow elf going around with a gun.
Just, you know, you're there vibing.
Yeah.
He turns up with a gun. You're like, what the fuck is that? And he's like, oh, you're about to find out.
Just see a bunch of adventurers just going through the tundra and suddenly they hear a loud bang in the distance. Like, what was that? And then you see an elf with a fucking elephant rifle above the horizon. They're like, new prey. Like, oh no! That's what snow elves are.
I'm here for that energy.
Yeah.
I like that. Problem solvers.
Problem solvers. I feel like it fills a niche that the other sub-races don't already have.
Yeah, very much so.
Distinct enough that they're their own thing.
So you would say that they are ice Pokemon?
Yes, they are 100% ice type. Obviously. So, out of the types of Pokemon we have left, what would you like to see, V?
I mean, I'm gonna say it. I want to see a dragon type.
Dragon type elves. So then, would that be a like a cross, like a dragonborn elf?
I don't know. I feel like that's the easy route, you know?
Yeah, that's the low hanging fruit.
Yeah, right. I feel like okay.
The idea. Oh, go ahead.
Bear with me.
Yeah.
Because we've got two schools of thought on dragons here. We have the D&D school of thought on dragons, which is that dragons generally are these
larger than life.
Large beings who like hoard things and are very kind of possessive and territorial over their land and their lives and their future.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's Pokemon dragons, which are, you know, half the time they don't even have fucking scales. you know, I'm not being a dragon purist here, but come on, Pokemon, what the fuck?
You take that back. Dragonite is a treasure.
And I've just had a thought, yeah. And you're going to have to bear with me on this one.
Go ahead.
Okay, so what do we know about dragons in the D&D setting?
They're big.
What else do we know about dragons in the D&D setting?
Some of them breathe fire or some other element.
So they have an innate spellcasting mechanic.
Yep.
They have innate magic that mm-hmm. they are not afraid to use.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mm-hmm. They have lairs. They have bases that they
like
create
an onion.
Themselves.
Sorry. Oh, you said lairs, not layers. Gotcha.
I'm just going to go. no, they have lairs.
Yep.
Which is, you know, their home, their base of operations where they keep all their stuff and raise their kids and are extremely defensive of it and don't like to share.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
They need for the chromatic and the metallic and all that nonsense.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's just different flavors, you know?
Yeah.
That's we come in different colors and spices. Here is my brother ready salted. Here is my sister salt and vinegar. You know, like that's fucking anyway. We also know of a type of elf who. Oh no! Sorry, I'm not done with the what are dragons. Dragons generally are proud creatures.
Yep.
Who think they know better than everyone else.
Yep.
What does this sound like to you?
High elves.
Yes. High elves are dragon type.
No. High elves are normal type.
but what if there is no normal type?
There is. It's high elf.
I'm too tired to argue this.
So here's my prop. What's the word I'm looking for?
Issue?
No.
Concern?
No.
I don't know what. I assumed you were going for problem.
No, I wasn't going for problem. I was going
Then I have
for,
no idea what you were going
I
for.
I was going for proposal. I was going for...
There we go. Suggestion?
Suggestion. Here's my...
Nomination?
Pitch. For dragon type elves.
Okay.
Steal from How to Train Your Dragon.
So you want elves who are dragon trainers?
No. No. Don't steal that much from How to Train Your Dragon. So for those of you who haven't seen How to Train Your Dragon, it's a good movie. You should watch it. It's very good. Have you seen it, V?
I have.
Good. All of them?
Yes.
Oh, hell yeah.
I know, this shocks everyone in the room.
So, in How to Train Your Dragon, the dragons aren't as intelligent as the ones in D&D. Mm-hmm. And so the characters learn how to not train them, but form relationships and partnerships with them, more often than not. They're not teaching them tricks, they're not teaching them how to obey. They're forming a symbiotic relationship.
They do still train them a little bit, though.
Still train them, but for the most part, it's a partnership. It's not...
Yeah, it's a partnership, but they do train them to do tricks.
Yeah.
It might be based on a more equal relationship than, say...
A dog.
You know, a dog. But, well, it depends on who the fucking... I mean, I'll be real. With any relationship I have a dog with is a partnership right there. Like, we're bros for life. But conventionally, yes. It's less like a you are my pet and you must obey me. It's more equal, but they still train. But in turn, I would say that the dragons train the humans to be more tolerant and less dickish. So,
yeah,
you know,
stop judging books by covers as well,
especially when they're scaly covers.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Anyway,
so I like the idea of dragon elves, as it were. Not actually being descended or related to dragons at all. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
But they have a strong, like, connection to them in terms of, like, they have essentially adapted alongside them. And so you have the idea of like these elves who, to me, they're like the midway point between high elf and wood elf. They have the, what I want to say is professionalism and resourcefulness and respect and all that of a high elf, and the bloodthirstiness and wild and quick thinkingness of a wood elf.
Okay.
They're all about living, not necessarily in tandem with dragon, but like living with them in terms of like just they're able to not be killed by them.
You do realize you've just made Drake Wardens, right?
Yeah, I've just made Drake Wardens.
Okay.
But as an entire subrace.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm not saying my idea is original. I literally started this by saying steal from How to Train Your Dragon.
Absolutely. And I.
I need more Odin sleep.
I don't think sleep's the problem right now, but
no. But yeah, you get what I'm putting down.
Yeah.
I also like the idea of them building, kind of, not go full artificer, but building tools and things that help them to adapt to living with dragons.
Mm-hmm.
Like squirrel suits. And things that make sure that they don't get damaged by whatever elemental breath that the dragon they live with breathes.
Yeah, I like the idea of like adaptability to the area where the particular dragon is. Because obviously, again, different flavors of dragon, different things to worry about. So like,
you know what a good example of this would be?
Go on.
And it's a brilliant Critical Role again, the Ashari.
Yes.
So for those of you who don't know, the Ashari aren't a subrace of elf. They're just a cultural group that aren't just, they're not all elves, are they? No, they're just a whole group of different, but a group of
individuals
and ancestries that have united together. And they're all associated with different elements. Very Avatar The Last Airbender.
Mm-hmm.
You got the Air Ashari, the Fire Ashari, the Water Ashari, and the Earth Ashari.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a whole trial thing and all that. That's how I imagine the dragon elves would be like, depending on what dragon they're associated with.
Mm-hmm.
I imagine they, because like, it helps as well that they're so long lived, they'd be able to keep up with the dragon.
Yeah.
Unlike other ancestries who, to the dragon, like, oh, I blinked and they died. The elves would be like, oh, yes, Charles, how long have we known each other? 500 years? good times.
Okay, I have questions about the dragon named Charles.
No. The elf's name is Charles. This is the dragon.
Oh, okay. Right. Okay. Sorry, I assumed it was the elf talking to the dragon. My bad. Okay, hold up. I love the idea of the dragon Charles going, how long have we known each other? 500 years? And the elf going, he's talking to me!
I mean, that's the thing. So, I like the idea that the dragons get what, like, especially like the good aligned dragons being like, oh, all these people want to help me and I help them. That's great. Wonderful. And they stick around. And I don't have to keep teaching them over and over again because they live for so long.
Mm-hmm.
They're self-sustaining. I don't have to worry about them. And they're good enough that they don't have to worry about me.
Mm-hmm.
That's my pitch.
Okay. I'm here for it. I'm here for that with the good aligned dragons. What about the bad aligned dragons?
It's the opposite, where there's a lot more slavery.
Yes. Yes. I love the idea, especially with like green dragons being tricksy little fuckers, of this concept that they don't realize that they're enslaved.
Oh yeah, 100%.
It's very much that energy.
It's dependent, obviously, on the specific circumstances. Like, I imagine some of the chromatic dragons, like a green dragon, will be like, yes, put everyone, has everyone received your necklace of loyalty? Oh, you're not wearing your necklace of loyalty. Put this on. Good elf. Good job. Then you got the red dragon that was like, you bitches better do what I say.
Absolutely. Like, a red dragon's not going to bush you on that nonsense. It's just like, get the fucking line. Like, straight up, where's my tribute? Yeah. Where's my tribute?
Here's the deal. You work for me now. You leave, everyone else dies. Mm-hmm. You get me things, make me happy, I won't kill everyone. Same page? It's basically, so for those of you who've seen The Boys, not me, Homelander as a dragon. That ridiculous amount of power that's like, yes, I could kill all of you. Yes, I could do everything I'm asking you to do and not even have to do much. That it wouldn't be that much effort for me to do it. But also, I like power. You're going to do as I say. If you don't, you're all going to die. Mm-hmm. And yes, you may think that you can escape, and some people will try to escape. But keep in mind, everyone who stays will die.
Very much that energy.
Bring all that toxic relationship to all those chromatic dragons.
Hell yeah. Heckin' dragons.
Heckin' dragons indeed. I think that's enough for today. We'll come back to it at another point.
Hmm. If you have any thoughts on more races, more specifically elf sub-races
that can be as Pokemon types.
Or there's a particular ancestry you want to see us ascribe Pokemon types to and maybe build some sub-races, who knows? Then you got options. You can email us cannibalizingthecanon@gmail.com. That's cannibalizing with a Z. You can tweet us @cannibalcanon. We're there. You can join us on our shiny new Discord. Ooh. It's a grand old time. Also, we have a dice channel now where everyone's showing off the dice, and I am jealous a lot of the time. All of these links and more are available just below.
Below. Deep below.
Not that deep. Not that
deep. Yeah. I've been melting.
And I've been dying.
Yeah. That's Cannibalizing the Cannon. Bye.